The Lord is my shepherd, my wants are known. The pasture I lie in is growthy and green. I follow by the lip of the waters of peace. He heals and holds my soul, directs me for his own name's sake. In the fit roads of his holiness, I, and though I must travel through the hollow where dark shadow fall, I will fear not injury nor ill, for that yourself is I aside me, your rod and your crook, they defend me. Let us worship God. You may be seated.
Please stand for the psalm of the day. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old,
which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us.
We will not hide them from their children.
Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done.
For he established testimony in Jacob, and appointed law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children.
That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children,
that they all might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Please remain standing for hymn number 457.
God, Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into your presence. Because of our many sins, we do not deserve any grace or mercy from you if you dealt with us as we deserve. We have sinned against you, O Lord, and we have offended you. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our lives, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thoughts of our minds may be guided and governed by you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Dearest sisters and brothers in Christ, hear this good news, this gospel, through the words of God spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. I am he who blots your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord, we are all forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us forgive one another. Amen. Children who are here, come forward. And also, will Paul Harrison come forward? I'll meet you over there. Are you coming? Come on. Let's go over here. Come on over here. Come on, princesses. All the princesses are here today, Paul.
What an honor.
Would you ladies come forward here? Come on, girls. Today's a special day, isn't it? It's your first time back to church since your surgery. You must be feeling better. Yeah. You know, God was with you during that surgery. Yeah, just as God is with you every day. God is with you through happy times and sad times and scary times. Well, a long, long time ago, God was also with people who lived in Scotland, which was a very hard place to live. Very hard. And they believed in Jesus too. And they had to fight wars in order to have their faith in public. And it didn't always work out for them. Sometimes the other guys won and they had to hide their faith. You know, and that's pretty sad. But they never lost hope in Jesus. They never lost sight of their faith. And one of the ways that they remembered their faith was through the music of this very noisy instrument. Can you hold that up, Mr. Paul? Look at that, ladies. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. What is it?
This is a bagpipe.
A bagpipe.
It's a four-reed instrument.
A four-reed instrument. Oh, my gosh. And do you know why they call it a bagpipe?
Because it has a bag and a pipe sticking out of it.
You got it. The bag's in the middle and the four pipes are sticking out. Pretty cool, huh? And boy, howdy, does it make a joyful noise. Yeah, he's going to play it. He's going to play about a cathedral, a church bigger than this, set in Scotland in the Highlands. Okay? Let's us sit in the front row and listen to him blare. Yeah? Because that kind of music inspired people who believed in Jesus like we do. And it's important for us to recognize that. Okay? All right, let's sit forward. You want to sit with us? He's going to get noisy. Come here. Come here. Come here. Let's sit down. Yeah. Here we go.
Our most merciful Father, who of thy gracious goodness has heard the devout prayers of thy church, we give thee humble thanks for thy bounty, beseeching thee to continue thy loving kindness unto us, that our land may yield her fruits of increase. That may be thy glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Almighty God, as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, reveal to us the way of salvation by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may not grow weary in doing what is right. Amen. I will read now from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that is not none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls."
Thank you.
Such beautiful music. And yet, please forgive me, but after the words that Ray read from Jesus, the ones he spoke to his disciples in the Luke reading, it's hard to believe that anyone's soul would feel well. Didn't Jesus tell them that life was about to get extremely difficult for them? He even said that the temple would be destroyed yet again. Remember that nearly 600 years earlier, the Babylonians had demolished the holy structure. It had taken years and years for the people to raise up a replacement. And from what Jesus says, Haggai's prophecy about this new building had come to pass. It was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God's glory, and the people themselves had created real community, which remained standing even under the great weight of the Roman Empire. Life was hard enough for these folks, and now Jesus was prophesying that the temple would be torn down to the ground, and wars and famine and plagues loomed on the horizon. In a way, it feels as if our world is in similar straits. Perhaps we aren't facing any plagues in this part of the world, at least not today, but there's all those wildfires out west. And what is going on over in Turkey? Didn't I read that the president there now intends to push the Syrian refugees out of his country? That's actually one nation of 21st century peoples raising against another less fortunate nation. And on top of that, the BBC has reported that Christians in the Middle East are facing eradication. They are hated because of Jesus' name, just as Jesus said they would be. And in 2003, there were 1.5 million Christians living in Iraq. Today, there are fewer than 120,000. Christians make up just 1.5% of the Palestinian population nowadays. 1.5% of all the people in the Holy Land are Christians. That's scary. Now, to us, those matters are real, but very far distant concerns. Yet we too face many challenges. For instance, while we are not facing wildfires, a much quieter disaster is happening. According to the National Audubon Society, if greenhouse gas emissions are not lowered by 2030, that's 11 years, two-thirds of North American bird species will become extinct. Two-thirds. That may not really sound terrible. Birds can be thought of as very insignificant creatures, but when one link in the natural food chain becomes stressed to the breaking point, other segments are also threatened. More painful is that as of 2017, 16.6% of the men, women, and children who live in Muskingum County live at or below the federal poverty line. 16.6%. Now, perhaps we wouldn't call it a famine, but it's hard not to imagine that there are a lot of hungry people here. Also in 2017, 4,854 Ohioans died of unintentional drug overdoses. Surprisingly, only, and yes, I said only, 42 of those happened locally. Thus far this year, 35 have been lost to this plague, including 5 just last week. In addition, there was a Times Recorder article this week that noted that of all the calls being received at the National Human Trafficking Hotline, there are more calls from the state of Ohio than from 46 other states. We're in the top 5 for human trafficking. The burden of this knowledge weighs me down, and it is not well with my soul. Is there no hope for this world that God created good, but we have managed to tear down just as the temple in Jerusalem was laid low by the Babylonians? Where is their hope? Now, when we seek hope in Jesus' words that Ray just read, we may feel confusion layering over despondency. Jesus tells his followers that they will be arrested and persecuted, that their families will betray them and hate them because of his name. But persecution of Christians is a foreign concept to us. It's what can happen to Jesus' followers in India and conservative Islamic parts of the world, but not here. So where is the hope in this reading for us? Well, the last verse that he read may point us in a helpful direction. The words are, "By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Could it be that by serving God's world in Jesus' name, we may be able to turn the tide of human-made plagues and disasters, hunger and war? If so, we'll need to mount a Herculean effort over many, many years, an effort that requires great endurance. Yet, I don't really believe that that's what Jesus is talking about. And as persons of the Reformed tradition, with a capital R, we Presbyterians don't believe we can earn our souls. That idea was actually laid out by Martin Luther when he said, "Sola fide, sola gratia." Sola fide, faith alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. We are saved by faith in Jesus alone, through God's favor, through God's grace alone. We cannot save ourselves, not even through good works, no matter how hard we try. God's in charge, and God saves us through Jesus. Now, to have faith in Jesus means we need to know Jesus, and the only way to know Jesus is to read Scripture, right? Luther even offered yet another principle on which we can lean into, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. Not only do we come to know Jesus through Scripture alone, we can interpret the entire Bible by allowing one passage help us to understand other passages. That Scripture can interpret itself enables us to see the interweavings of the deepest truths presented by God throughout the Bible. So we Presbyterians look to both the New, as Ray read, and the Old Testaments when we want to understand Jesus and God. And today's Old Testament lesson offers a good example of how this works. When I first looked at this pairing from the lectionary, I couldn't see how they related to each other, and yet there they were, side by side. It seemed that there was very little interweaving going on between them. And Luke was absolutely confusing and saddening. So let me read this Isaiah passage to you. Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. And I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered to be cursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw with the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Says the Lord. Even back then, God was preparing to do a new thing. What was before will not be remembered, and God promises that those who believe in God can delight in what it is about to take place. There will be no more weeping, no distress cries. And when God does this new thing, infants won't die, and the oldest among us will be considered youthful. So, did you notice how this passage didn't say that before this rather utopian life happens, God isn't going to destroy the world? Instead, God chooses to build on the old world so that it will be transformed into joy. And when we consider this through the lens of New Testament scripture, we see that Jesus' way of life, his death and his resurrection, are instrumental in this transformation. Even this troubling passage from Luke contains a reminder of this. Jesus said, "Not a hair of the heads of those who follow him will perish." But that passage also challenges us to serve God's purpose of bringing joy from what was pain-filled. Yes, God's going to do this new thing, but God intends to work through us. Each person is to testify to Jesus' presence in God's world, and Jesus was encouraging those who were being persecuted to voice their belief into the powers that be. That makes sense, given the times. But what is Scripture saying to us here and now, Christians settled in a fairly safe, albeit damaged place? Well, we can and we should do the work of building houses and planting vineyards. Not just for our own good, but for the well-being of all who live here. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to build brick-and-mortar houses, but we can build up the kingdom of God by creating community with those who live around us. So I wonder if maybe to do this, one of you or more might find a program in which you could read to a preschool child to help him grow and discover joy in the world. Perhaps more of you could serve meals on Sunday afternoons at Christ's Fellowship. And oh yeah, what is going on with that warming shelter that I read about in the newspaper? Could some of us help figure out how best Zanesville can meet the needs of homeless folks who are trying to survive these bitter nights? What else could the congregation do to support the women and children who are trapped in the scourge of human trafficking? Yes, we labeled soaps, but what else can we do? Maybe this church, this is crazy, could even help the birds who live in the woods that surround the building. Should we perhaps set up winter feeding stations and summer bird baths? Maybe we could plant areas of the property with wildflowers. The seeds feed the birds, the bees congregate, make honey, it's a good thing, and there wouldn't be so much grass to cut. You laugh, but that's good stewardship. We're cutting down on greenhouse gas emissions, just a little bit. Yeah, I'm throwing out crazy ideas. And whether or not they pique anyone's interest, I'm not worried about. The point is, we have been given gifts and abilities by God in order to testify to God's glory and to help in the work of transforming God's creation, just as was said in Isaiah. No matter our age or our capacity, there are simple ways God can work through us to reduce human suffering. Each of us can pray. And each of us can pray for ideas that allow us to participate in God's transformation of the world here and now. For through scripture and faith-filled prayer, Jesus will give us, and I quote, the words and a wisdom that none of life's opponents will be able to withstand. That was Luke this morning. Through prayer, God will save us and the world. Sola fide, sola gratia. And when, Spirit-inspired, we act through the love of God and Jesus Christ, we will see the wolf and the lamb feeding together. We'll be amazed when the lion eats straw like an ox. And at that moment, the world will be transformed into God's joy. And it will be well with our souls, and not just our own souls. Oh no, it will be well with the souls of all we meet. May it be so. us remain standing as we are able. And again, using the words from the Scots Confession of 1560, one of the denomination's 13 confessions of faith, let us say what we believe. We confess and acknowledge one God alone, to whom alone we must cleave, whom alone we must serve, whom alone we must worship, and in whom alone we put our trust, who is eternal, infinite, immeasurable, incomprehensible, omnipotent, invisible, one in substance and yet distinct in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, by whom we confess and believe all things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, to have been created, to be retained in their being, and to be ruled and guided by his inscrutable providence for such end as his eternal wisdom, goodness, and justice has appointed, and to the manifestation of his own glory. Amen. You may be seated.